This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Stay With Me, written by Kelly Elliott, performed by Charlotte North and J.F. Harding.
Prologue. Thano. Taking in a deep breath, I slowly released it and rocked back and forth while I looked at myself in the mirror.
Bro, you look good, so stop worrying. Besides, everyone is going to be looking at Savannah, not paying any attention to you.
I grinned as I gave my older brother Thaddeus a wink. Savannah and I had been dating since high school, so it was no surprise to anyone when I asked her to marry me our last year of college. I do have a breathtaking bride, don't I? With a slap on my back, he replied,
Yes, you do. And you got our parents to like her. Lucky bastard.
Turning around, I tried to get my breathing under control. My parents came over to this country from Greece as young children, and Savannah was sure they would hate her the first time I brought her home. She was, after all, not Greek. My family was very big on keeping with tradition, so it was no surprise my grandparents settled into an area of Colorado with a large Greek community. Of course, Savannah won them over with her charm, just like she did me. It was keeping my oldest brother, Nicholas, away from her that proved to be the challenge. A light knock on the door had me glancing over as my mother walked in and headed my way. She smiled sweetly while she brushed imaginary lint from my jacket.
Nervous. Very nervous. She told her mother she needed to talk to you.
I gave her a concerned look. Was Savannah having second thoughts? I had to admit I was feeling more confused today than ever. I prayed we were doing the right thing. Seeing my look of concern, she smiled big.
But she looks happy. Oh my, the girl is bouncing off the walls, she is so happy. She keeps saying her heart is racing and she feels short of breath. Her chest was hurting for a bit.
A sinking feeling moved through my body. Her chest hurts? Is that normal? She gave me a wink.
I'd say so. I was a nervous mess when I was marrying your father. My hands shook like a leaf on a tree in a summer storm. My father thought I was going to shake my flowers off the stems before I even made it down the aisle.
I let out a laugh and kissed her on the cheek. You always did know how to put me at ease, Mama. Patting me on the chest, my mother turned to my two brothers and put her hands on her hips as she watched the two of them wrestle with each other. Thaddeus, or as we called him, Thad, was the middle son. Nicholas had Thad in a headlock. It wasn't uncommon for the two of them to get into wrestling matches. One was always trying to prove to the other how much stronger he was. You'd think they were still in high school with how they acted.
Stop this, you two. Your brother is needed in the church. All of you, get out there and greet the guests and families.
Nicholas dropped his hold on Thad and gave him a push as he headed to the door. Shaking my head, I followed them and my best friend Gus out the door. Gus gave me a slight push and said,
This is it. Last chance to bail.
My heart sunk for a quick moment before I came to my senses. No way in hell. I can't imagine my life without Savannah in it. Taking in a deep breath, he slowly blew it out and said,
Yeah, if I had hot sex like you two do, I wouldn't want anyone else either.
Giving him a push, I hissed.
Shut the hell up, you asshole. If my mother hears you, I'm going to kick your ass.
Gus let out a laugh as he walked ahead of me. I'd been living with Gus since college. We met our freshman year and hit it off from the get-go. Savannah spent more time at my place than hers. We often forgot the walls were thin, and Gus got his fair share of hearing us making love. Doing my duty, I made my way to as many of my family members as I could. Savannah's side of the family was much smaller. It was her parents, her grandparents, her older brother Sam, and a few cousins who were attending the wedding. My side of the church was packed. Walking up to Savannah's grandparents, I reached out for her grandfather's hand and gave it a firm shake. Mr. Thompson, how are you doing this morning? Giving me a head nod, he said,
Fine. Just fine, young man. You ready to marry my grandbaby?
Yes, sir. I am indeed.
The priest walked up to me and spoke closely to my ear. It's time, Thano. Nodding, I gave Mr. Thompson a wink and said,
"It's time." "Good luck,"
he called out as I smiled. I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right as I walked back to the altar. Is this doubt I'm feeling? Am I second-guessing this? No, I love Savannah. Standing at the altar, I watched my parents walk to their seats. Then Savannah's mother was walked down the aisle by Nicholas. Taking his place next to me, he squeezed my shoulder slightly.
"This is it. The beginning to your life of one woman forever."
Grinning bigger, I laughed. I can't believe I'm marrying Savannah. My heart pounded in my chest as I drew in a deep breath. The music changed, and I watched as Savannah's best friends all made their way down the aisle one at a time. Each one was dressed in the light blue dresses it took Savannah forever to pick out. One of Savannah's cousins had a 4-year-old little girl, Michelle, who was our flower girl. I couldn't help but laugh when she skipped down the aisle and called out,
"Savannah is coming! Savannah is coming!"
Chuckles erupted around the church. With a quick glance to my parents, I felt my heart warm as I looked at how happy they were. It was a far cry from the first time I told them I loved a girl who wasn't Greek. The music started, and everyone stood. The moment I saw her, my breath stilled. Beautiful, couldn't describe her. Savannah glanced around at a few people before looking up at me. Our eyes met and we both smiled. My heart hammered in my chest while she made her way to me. There was something missing, though. The spark in her eyes was gone. For a moment, I swore I saw doubt. Shaking my head slowly to erase my erratic thoughts, I watched as she made her way down the aisle. Savannah sobbed and pressed her lips together as tears began streaming down her face. Halfway down the aisle, Savannah's smile vanished. She stopped walking and clutched her chest. "Something is wrong." Looking at her father and then me, she dropped her bouquet and called out, "Thano," before she collapsed to the ground. I stood there for a brief moment in total shock before I ran over to her. I fell to the floor and pulled her into my arms. "Savannah, baby, what's wrong?" Tears ran down Savannah's face while she struggled to speak.
"I really do love you."
"Baby, no. No, don't do this to me." Looking up, I glanced around at everyone as I screamed out, "Somebody help her!" My father, who was a doctor, rushed to my side.
"She's having a heart attack."
My eyes widened as I fell back and watched my father. Someone yelled out, "Call 911. Savannah's eyes were closed as my father began CPR. My mother wrapped her arms around me as she quietly began praying. Wiping my tears away, I took Savannah's hand and pleaded with her,
"Baby, please don't leave me."
My pleas went unheard. 1. 4 years later. Thano. The music pulsed through my body as I watched Nicholas try his best to put the moves on some blonde he had been talking to for the last 20 minutes. It was almost painful to watch him crash and burn. Letting out a sigh, I glanced around for Gus and Thad. If I knew Gus, he was in the parking lot screwing some girl, and Thad, Lord only knew what he was up to. I motioned for the bartender. "I'll take another bourbon. Neat." Acknowledging my request, he quickly got my drink and set it in front of me. Sliding him a 20, I said, "Keep the change." Tapping the bar, he smiled and said,
"Thanks, dude."
Turning to the person who sat next to me, he asked, "What will it be, pretty lady?" The air around me changed as I glanced to my right. A girl with brown wavy hair sat and said,
"Jameson, on the rocks."
I lifted my drink to my lips and smiled. Taking a sip, I said, "A woman who knows how to drink." Feeling her eyes on me, I turned to look at her. What happened next was totally unexpected. My breath hitched as the most beautiful green eyes looked into mine. The first time in 4 years a woman had any sort of effect on me. And it had to be in a fucking bar.
"Yeah, well, my daddy taught me 2 things. How to shoot a gun and how to order a drink."
Lifting my eyebrows, I slowly nodded my head. "Remind me not to piss you off after you have a few of those." She gave me a polite chuckle and said,
You're safe. Now my so-called best friend.
Not so much. Okay, I'll bite. Why? What did she do? The girl took her drink and damn near drank the whole thing in one gulp. Letting out a frustrated sigh, she shook her head and turned her body toward me.
Listen, you're cute. Really cute. But I'm not interested in getting picked up by some overly gorgeous guy who was out for a one-night stand. So you're wasting your time with me.
Oh, I'm so very intrigued now. Which one is it? I asked as I gave this girl my best smile. The one where both dimples pop out and my green eyes light up. At least, that's what I've been told, anyway. I was certainly blessed with my Greek heritage, and I knew when to use it. Dropping her shoulders, she looked at me. Her eyes moved to my dimples, then onto my lips, and finally they settled on my eyes.
Excuse me?
She asked, just above a whisper. You said I was really cute, and then you said I was overly gorgeous. I'm curious which one I am. Cute or gorgeous? Her mouth dropped open as she let out a gruff laugh.
Seriously?
I finished off my drink and set it down.
Yeah,
seriously. And by the way, I'm not trying to pick you up. You're not my type. Narrowing her eyes at me, she smiled slightly. Slipping off the bar stool, she grabbed her drink and finished it off. Her green eyes pinned me to where I couldn't move even if I wanted to.
Gorgeous.
I gave her a quick nod of my head as I smiled bigger. Tilting her head, she said,
But your eyes are sad.
My smile faded as we stood there, staring at each other. Looking away, she quickly said,
Enjoy your evening.
I stood there, frozen in place, as I watched her make her way through the crowd. Stopping at a couple on the dance floor, who I assumed was the best friend, she said something and then made her way out of the bar. Turning back toward the bar, I stared at my empty drink. Pulling out my phone, I sent Gus and Nicholas a text. Me. Catching a cab. Don't stay out late, Gus. Cooking class, 9 a.m. Making my way toward the entrance to the bar, I was stopped three times by women looking either for a dance or to share a drink. Politely turning them each down, I pushed the door open and stepped outside into the cool fall air. I let out a sigh of relief as I dropped my head back and took in a few deep breaths. Something about the air here in Colorado felt so clean. I moved to Houston, Texas for a year after Savannah had passed away. I needed to be away from anything that reminded me of her. Gus had a friend who needed some help on an oil rig. Needless to say, my parents weren't too happy when I said I was leaving my job as a marketing manager and heading to Texas. I hated every single minute of it and couldn't wait to get back to Colorado Springs. The mountains, the fresh air, the snow-covered slopes. The only thing good about that year was that I was busy working. If I was busy, I didn't think about Savannah. The day I realized I couldn't keep ignoring the fact that she was gone was the day I packed up my stuff and headed home. Life moved on, everyone kept telling me. The problem was, I didn't want to move on without her. A honking horn pulled me out of my thoughts as I waved down a cab. Jumping in, I said, 1111 Summit Road.
Manitou Springs?
The cab driver asked.
Yeah.
I said as I dropped my head back against the seat. The moment I closed my eyes, green eyes invaded my thoughts. Snapping my eyes open, I shook my head and whispered, What the fuck? Sighing, I dragged my hands down my face. For the first time in 4 years, another woman besides Savannah occupied my thoughts, and I wasn't sure how I should be feeling. My phone buzzed in my pocket. Taking it out, I saw Gus's name scroll across the screen. Swiping across my phone, I read his text. Gus, tell me you've got a girl with you. Please tell me you're gonna get fucked tonight. You need to get laid. Rolling my eyes, I pushed my phone back into my pocket. I'd been with a few women since Savannah passed away. Most of them had been one-night stands. I had tried to date two of them more than one time. I couldn't get past the fact that they weren't Savannah. No one would ever be Savannah. No one. 2. Thano. Gus pulled up and parked next to me as I leaned against my door. Grinning from ear to ear, I took a sip of my coffee as I pushed off my car and made my way over to him. The door to his Toyota Tundra flew open as he stumbled out.
Who in the fuck decided we needed to cook at 9 in the damn morning?
Giving him a slap on the back, I said, "You did." With a dramatic sigh, Gus rubbed his hands down his scruff-covered face.
Fucking hell. I never imagined when I went to college to get my degree in marketing I'd be going to a damn cooking class.
I let out a chuckle. What better place to get into the heads of women who buy pots and pans than a cooking class? Isn't that what you said?
How do we get stuck with this account? I mean, seriously, we are manly men. We should be doing the marketing campaign for the new lingerie campaign.
My head dropped back as I let out a roar of laughter. Oh yeah, right. Like they would put you on that account. We'd get a sexual harassment charge after the first day. Grabbing my coffee from my hand, Gus pushed me away from him as he said,
"Fuck you, Grievous. You good-looking Greek bastard."
Laughing, I shook my head as I followed him into Onion Creek Gardens. It was a small restaurant that was only open Thursday through Sunday. On the days the restaurant wasn't open, one of the owners held cooking classes. Why do you always bring up the fact that I'm Greek? Gus stopped and looked at me.
Have you looked in the mirror lately, asshole? The dark hair, the dark skin. Women flock to you, it makes me sick.
Grinning at the young woman standing in the hostess section, I gave her a wink.
Don't listen to him. He's hungover and feeling a tad bitter this morning because this was his idea.
Letting out a giggle, the young girl waved as if she wasn't paying any attention to us. It didn't take Gus long to start flirting with her.
What time do you get off, sweetheart?
Chewing on her lower lip, the girl smiled and said,
Oh, not until 2 this afternoon.
Gus reached out and grabbed a piece of paper and scrolled his cell number down on it.
Call me. Maybe we can get dinner.
Her eyes quickly moved over to me and then back to Gus. I knew it wouldn't take her long to answer. Gus was one of those guys who just had to smile and girls were falling over him. He was as tall as me at 5'11". We both worked out almost every day and had the same build. The only difference was he was blonde with blue eyes, and I had dark brown hair and green eyes. My Greek heritage accounted for my darker skin tone. Taking the paper from Gus, she winked and stuck it in her pocket.
Sounds like a solid plan.
I grabbed Gus and pulled him toward the interior of the restaurant. We were all to meet in the small dining room and then go to the kitchen as one unit. At least, that's what the brochure said would happen.
Jesus, don't you ever get tired of this game, Gus?
What game? He asked with a shrug. A blonde walked by, and I thought Gus was going to break his neck as he watched her.
This game of hooking up with random women and having sex with them. Bite your tongue. There will never be a day I get tired of this. Are you kidding me? Right now, I'm in my prime.
Snarling my lip, I slowly shook my head.
In your prime, huh?
Yep.
I mean, look at me. What woman wouldn't want me between their legs?
Two women turned and looked at us. One smiled and the other one frowned. This was going to be a hard crowd to crack, especially with Gus already acting like a dick. Gus took a drink of my coffee and asked,
"What are we cooking?"
"Breakfast and a smoothie or something," I said as I looked around the room full of women. Of all the cooking classes, this one seemed like the easiest one. How hard could it be to fry up some eggs and blend some fruit together? A few more women walked in, each one zeroing in on us. I was pretty sure the redhead moaned when she looked at us.
"Yeah, in my prime. Endless pussy," Gus said as he looked around. "Jesus, I've died and gone to fucking heaven. And we get breakfast out of it. Score."
The door to the kitchen area opened, and a woman about my age, 27 or so, walked out with a huge smile on her face.
"Good morning, cookers! Good morning, Claire,"
everyone said in unison. Gus and I smiled and looked around the room before my eyes landed on the instructor. Tilting her head, she asked,
"Were you boys looking for the gym next door?"
Holy shit. Did she really just stereotype us? With a grin, I responded to her question. "No, we're here to improve our cooking skills, learn how to do more for the special women in our lives." She didn't have to know my mother had me in the kitchen cooking from the time I learned to talk. Gus snapped his head and glared at me. Someone standing behind me whispered,
"My ovaries just exploded."
Gus cleared his throat. "Excuse me, Thano, but speak for yourself. I'm single, ladies, and yes, I am a man. That doesn't mean I'm only a gym rat. I'm looking to enhance my cooking skills so I can cook a meal for a beautiful woman that will have her begging for more." Okay. He one-upped me on that one. Bastard. The instructor let a small chuckle slip from her lips.
"Okay, ladies and gentlemen, follow me into the kitchen."
As she walked, she gave us a brief intro into the class and started rattling off everything we were going to make.
"We're going to start with our smoothie. I like to call it the woman's, or man's, happy skeleton blast. We've got spinach and flax seeds with a bit of molasses and other goodies."
Gus dropped his mouth open. "I'm not drinking that shit." Hitting him on the chest, we walked up to a cooking station and looked at everything set out.
"What is this stuff?"
Gus asked in a whispered voice. With a shrug, I replied, "I have no idea."
"If you boys need any help, I'm more than happy to assist."
Glancing up, there was a woman who looked to be a few years older than me. Her tits were practically spilling out of her shirt. She stood there, waiting for our response.
"Julian, please head on over to your station. Kylan will be here soon to help out."
Claire looked at me and winked.
"Kylan is my assistant. She's notoriously late. She can help you boys out."
With a nod, I smiled. Clapping her hands to get everyone's attention, Claire kept talking.
"After we make the smoothie, it's on to the Eggs Benedict."
"The what?" Gus mumbled. Oh, shit. I think I signed up for the wrong cooking class.
"We'll start with the hollandaise sauce."
"The what?" Gus asked with a panicked look. "Hollandaise sauce? Which holiday is coming up? Thanksgiving, right?" I looked down at the ingredients Claire set at our station on a blue tray. Eggs, lemon juice, butter, salt, and pepper. That seemed easy enough. Leaning over, I said,
"Dude, don't worry. We've got this shit. I cook with my mother all the time."
He moaned and scrubbed his hands down his face.
"I'm hungover. I'm surrounded by hot women, and now we're baking desserts for the holidays? It's too much. I'm on overload."
Claire continued to talk.
"After we make the hollandaise sauce, we'll make the Eggs Benedict. Then we'll finish it off with a creamy strawberry crepe."
Gus and I snapped our heads and looked at each other.
"French shit. What the fuck did you get us into, dude? I'm telling your mother you brought us to a French cooking class."
"Shh," I said as I pushed his shoulder.
"Don't worry, boys. You'll have help as soon as Kylan gets here. She's our crepe specialist. Makes them all the time."
I forced a smile. Great, just what I need. Some old French woman yelling at me while trying to tell me how to make fucking crepes.
"Okay, let's heat up those pans and get our butter melting."
Gus placed the wide pan on the small portable stove as I took the butter and dropped it into the pan.
"If you feel like getting fancy, clarify the butter by skimming some of the milk solids off. It will make the sauce thicker but less rich."
Claire looked at what I was sure was a holy fuck what did she just say look on my face. She was about to say something when the door to the kitchen flew open and someone came running in.
"Shit, sorry. I thought sneaking in that yoga class might be a mistake, and it was."
I kept my eyes focused on the butter as I tried to figure out what the hell I had to do to skim the milk.
"Dude, I found the woman I'm going to marry,"
Gus whispered to me as I looked at the girl next to me to see what she was doing with her butter. I gave her a grin as she smiled back.
"First time?" she asked.
Taking in a deep breath through my nose, I nodded and said,
"Yep, it said breakfast. I thought fried eggs or something."
She gave me a huge smile and replied,
"You won't find Claire or Kylan cooking anything easy like plain eggs."
Gus hit me on the arm.
"Dude, I'm serious. I'm in love."
Looking back at him like he was nuts, I shook my head.
"What in the hell are you talking about?"
Gus pointed with his mouth to the floor.
"Dude, my future wife is standing next to our French chef."
Looking over to Claire, I watched as a girl was bent over pulling her hair into a ponytail. When she stood back up, our eyes met. My mouth dropped open at the same time as hers.
Holy shit,
I whispered as Claire called out to me.
Dark-haired dreamy man in the back. Stop staring at Kylan, or your butter will burn.
Kylan.
Her green eyes sparkled as she shook her head and made a tisking motion with her finger and winked. Walking up to us, she grinned, and my breath was taken away. What in the hell? That hasn't happened in one hell of a long time.
Are you following me?
Pulling my head back, I gave her a fake-as-hell stunned look. That would be hard to do, considering I was here first. She flashed me a drop-to-my-knees smile. We're here for research, I said. She lifted her brows and turned to Gus.
Research, huh?
Gus slowly nodded his head. Marketing. Pots and pans. Women. Turning to look at Gus, I mumbled, Women? Kylan tried to hide her chuckle, but she failed.
I see. Well, it looks like you need some help with that sauce.
Yes, God, yes. What holiday are we making this for? Gus asked.
Rolling my eyes, I looked away. Kylan laughed, and I was stunned by how it affected me. It rolled over my body like a warm blanket. I found myself wanting to hear her laugh again.
Hollandaise sauce, not holiday, she said with a grin.
Oh, well, hell, I feel stupid.
Nonsense. Let's grab a double boiler and get this moving along.
For the next 2 hours, Kylan showed us how to make a kick-ass sauce, Eggs Benedict, which I instantly loved, and finished it all off with showing me how to make the perfect light and fluffy crepe. Gus had long given up and moved over to the table next to us, and sat on his ass and flirted nonstop with the two women. Every now and then, I would hear him ask about why they liked a certain pot or pan. At least the bastard was working. I took the crepe out of the pan and set it on a serving plate. Kylan jumped and clapped her hands.
That's perfect. Now, take a quarter cup of the strawberries and 1/3 cup of cream cheese and fill the crepes. You'll roll it up and top with a small dollop of the cream cheese filling and a few sliced berries.
I did everything as she said it, dropping a few fresh strawberries on the top of our beautiful creation to finish it off.
And voila, your strawberry and cream cheese crepe.
Cutting into the crepe, I brought it to my mouth while Kylan watched intently. Her eyes turned dark as they roamed across my body. I was almost positive I saw something in them that resembled lust. When she focused back on my lips, she licked her own. Holy shit, this is amazing. Kylan chuckled and began cleaning up.
I'm glad you liked it. I hope you learned something about cooking this morning.
I learned having a beautiful woman by my side to cook with is a benefit. She smiled bigger.
Well, having a cute guy next to me isn't so bad either.
Gorgeous. Last night, you said I was gorgeous. Scrunching her nose up in the most adorable way, I couldn't help but take in every single thing about her. Her brown hair was pulled up into a ponytail, with a few curls hanging down. She didn't have a stitch of makeup on, and sure as hell didn't need any. Her green eyes looked tired, but her skin seemed to glow.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget?
She replied sarcastically. With a shrug, I helped her carry the dishes over to the restaurant's massive sink, where two young guys were working.
How did you like the class? Claire is my best friend and teaches it.
I really enjoyed it. Kylan motioned with her head over to Gus.
It looks like your friend did as well.
Sighing, I apologized for him. I'm really sorry about him. If he thinks he even has a chance, he'll pounce. Waving my comment off with her hand, she headed back to our station. It was about then Gus turned and jumped up. He pushed me out of the way as he stuck his hand out to shake Kylan's hand.
I'm not really sure how you know my good friend Thano here, but I'm Gus. We neglected to introduce ourselves before we got lost in the world of cooking.
Oh, brother. Kylan shook Gus's hand and said,
Pleasure.
She motioned over to me and said,
We met last night at a bar.
Gus snapped his eyes over to mine and then back to Kylan. Tilting her head and giving me the sexiest look I'd ever seen, she practically purred,
Thano. What an unusual name.
I couldn't believe we had stood next to each other for 2 hours and never introduced ourselves. Gus waved me off.
Yeah, it's Greek. So, what do you say I take you to breakfast? We can ditch Thano and get to know each other better.
Kylan pulled her eyes from mine as she took Gus in.
We just ate breakfast.
Gus pinched his eyebrows together.
Well, how about coffee?
Was this asshole really moving in on my turf? My turf? What in the hell makes me think Kylan is my turf? Kylan gave a polite smile and replied,
Thanks, but I have a meeting in a few minutes. It was great seeing you again, Thano. Have a great day, guys.
And just like that, she was walking away from me again. Stopping to talk to Claire, Kylan kissed her on the cheek and rushed out the door.
What I wouldn't do to get that girl's number. Holy shit, she was hot.
My body felt as if a heat wave rushed through it as I thought of Gus and Kylan together.
Yeah, she was cute, I said, as I took off quickly toward the door Kylan walked out of.
Gus came up next to me as we made our way through the restaurant and outside. Dragging in a deep breath, I pushed aside those hauntingly beautiful green eyes. I'm going home to change and then going for a run. Running was the only thing that cleared my head, and I needed my head cleared. Fast.
3. Kylan. Penny for your thoughts? I pulled my eyes away from the Rocky Mountains and turned toward Claire. I hadn't been able to stop thinking about Thano for the last week. The way he looked at me and caused my heartbeat to quicken. His smile seemed to invade my thoughts every time I closed my eyes. I wasn't used to a man making me feel like this. Trying to get in the zone with the Peterson design. With a regarding look, she folded her arms across her chest and gave me the same look my mother used to when I had told a lie. The Peterson house? Seriously, that was the best you could do? Dropping my feet to the floor, I walked over to my desk and flopped down. Yep. You were taken with him. With who? I asked, knowing damn well she meant Thano. Thano. What an interesting name. Pulling up my computer, I typed in, meaning of the Greek name Thano. The hottie from cooking class. What was his name again? Thano, I replied a little too quickly. Peeking up at her, she shook her head. I swear it was as if Claire had an inside line to my thoughts. We were practically sisters, so I shouldn't be surprised she would be on to me. You knew damn well who I was talking about. How in the hell do you remember a name like Thano if he didn't make some sort of impression on you? Pesh, please, it's an unusual name. How could I forget it? Besides, I wasn't taken with him. She leaned back in the chair and stared at me. Her brown hair was pulled up into a tight bun and her makeup done perfectly. The tight white blouse she was wearing was open enough to give a small taste at what could be underneath. The whole outfit was finished off with a pencil skirt and black pumps. Let's not forget all the jewelry she was draped in. Claire always made sure she was put together. She'd been like that since 7th grade when George McDougal told her she dressed like a boy. That's when we both discovered what the power of a dress and makeup could do to a boy. Why are you staring at me like that? Tilting her head, she gave me a slight smile. Kylan, when are you going to open your heart to the idea of someone? With a shrug of my shoulders, I replied, when that someone comes along. I'm in no rush to settle down. I'm having too much fun. Looking back at my computer, I quickly scanned the search results. The name Athanasios was at the top, Greek meaning for immortal. Huh, if only a person could be immortal. Kylan, I know a lot of terrible shit happened to you, but not all guys are scumbags like he was. Swallowing hard, I closed my eyes. I needed to get refocused and get Thano out of my mind. I don't want to talk about it, Claire. I think I'm going to head home. Go for a run and clear my head. I'll have some sketches of the kitchen for you by tonight. Running was something I had started up in high school as a way to escape reality for a bit. Something about it felt as if it freed my soul. With a sigh, she stood. Don't rush. I won't be back on my computer until tomorrow afternoon. It's date night with Blake. Forcing a smile, I replied, Have fun tonight, and behave. She laughed and grabbed her phone and began typing. I imagined she was sending her husband another dirty text. I swear Claire had more action sexting Blake than I've had in my entire adult life. I don't know the meaning of that word. Laughing, I gathered up a few things and headed out the door to my car. My best friend Claire was an overachiever. She always had been. Not only was she business partners with me in my interior design company, but she co-owned Onion Creek Gardens. I was good to just get by in college. My life was nothing like Claire's. I loved her like she was my sister, but we were opposites in every way. She was daring. I was cautious. She took chances. I researched the shit out of things. But there was one thing we had in common. We loved life and didn't take a day for granted. Pulling my jacket around me tighter, I smiled at the young couple walking toward me holding hands. I loved love. I was just not lucky in it. Ever since my parents passed away, I wasn't lucky in anything. My phone buzzed in my pocket. Reaching in, I pulled it out and answered it without looking. Huge mistake. Hello? Kylan. Baby, how are you? Ugh, it was Jack. We met at a cooking class and I agreed to go out with him one time. Worst 2 hours of my life. I'm doing well, Jack. How are you?
I'd be better if you were here next to me.
With an internal groan, I opened the door to my car and slid in. Jack, we talked about this. I'm not interested in you like that. He laughed.
I know. Listen, I'm in the mood to get my shake on. Please say you'll go with me. I've had a hell of a shit week.
Letting out a frustrated sigh, I dropped my head back. I'm sorry, I have to pass. I've got to go get some designs done up. Maybe next weekend or something?
Yeah, sounds good.
Bye, Jack. Be careful and have fun. The sooner I got home and changed, the better. The drive to my new condo in Manitou Springs wasn't far from my office. I'd change into my running stuff and clear my head with a good long run.
Kylan?
The sound of his voice made my heart stop, and I swear I was involuntarily holding my breath. Glancing over my shoulder, there he stood. Good Lord, help me. Thanos smiled that big smile of his, showcasing the two dimples and his straight white teeth. My eyes traveled down his body, and I swear the ground shook. Breathe, Kylan, breathe. I couldn't utter a word. Not a damn word. I'd never had a man make me feel like this, and it scared the piss out of me. Maybe I was so affected by him because of how insanely good-looking he was. He held up his hands in defense and said,
I swear I'm not following you. I was out for a run, and I looked over here and saw you. I can't believe we run into each other twice since that night in the bar.
Talk, Kylan, you idiot, talk! I just moved to Manitou Springs not too long ago. Do you live around here? Close by? I mean, you don't have to tell me where you live. I live a few miles that way. Damn it. I sounded like a teenager. And the worst part was I actually pointed down the street as I was talking. Where is the rock for me to crawl under? Pulling my lip in, I chewed the hell out of it. I couldn't help but notice his eyes grow darker while he zeroed in on my lips. The throbbing between my legs was getting to the point where I was going to have to do something about it, and soon. Holy hell. Has it really been that long since I'd had sex? Or was it just him?
I live in town, but I'm also building a log cabin up in the mountains. Hopefully to live there full time someday.
Please take me there and ravage me. No, wait. Jesus, Kylan, pull yourself together, woman.
I like cabins and love the mountains. That was all I could come up with. I was slowly dying inside. I'd never been at a loss for words, no matter who I was talking to. His smile grew bigger as he replied, "Me too. Another thing we have in common." My eyes shot up while I watched him push his fingers through his sweat-soaked dark hair. His comments snapped me out of my current daze. "Another thing?"
"Yeah," he said with a wink. "We both like to run, and we both love the mountains."
Why did my knees feel weak? Did I run too hard? Maybe I was tired. With an awkward chuckle, I nodded. "I'd kill for a weekend in the mountains. Anything to get away. You're lucky." He lifted his eyebrow and something moved across his face. "Change the subject, Kylan. Fast." "Hey, so is Thano short for something?"
"It is,"
he said with another drop-my-panty smile.
"My full name is Athanasios."
Dear God, why does that make my panties soaking wet? It's the way he said it. Those green eyes of his confused me. They held a sad secret, but every now and then he would look at me like he wanted to rip my clothes off. I would so be down with him ripping my clothes off. My eyes moved to his arm and the tattoos on it. Licking my lips, I forced the moan to stay in. "That's a really cool name." He tossed his head back and laughed.
"Gotta love my Greek parents."
I needed to know his full name. Okay, that's not true. I didn't need to know. I just wanted to hear him say his name again. "So, what's your full name? Do the Greeks use like 1,000 different names for members of the family? You know, like 10 middle names?" When he laughed again, I couldn't help but notice how a crazy feeling zipped through my body. My eyes lingered a little too long on the scruff that covered his perfectly beautiful face.
"No, it's Athanasios Adrax Drivas."
And there it was. I was positive Thano could get any girl he wanted merely by saying his name. Another reason to stay away from him. Those looks and that name. Let's not forget the rocking body. Yep, he had player written all over him. Thano opened his mouth to talk and his phone rang. With a smile, I lifted my hand and said, "Well, it was great seeing you again. Maybe I'll see you around." He looked conflicted.
"Wait, what's your last name since you know mine?"
I couldn't help but notice how my chest fluttered. "O'Kelly is my last name." The smile that spread across his face made me smile.
"Irish."
"Yep." Glancing to his phone, I pointed, "You better answer that." He nodded and said,
"Yep. See ya, Kylan."
I lifted my hand and said, "See ya." Turning, I took off running. I'd never run so fast in my life. It was as if I was running from the way he looked at me. Or worse yet, from the way he made me feel.
4. Thano. Walking through the cabin, I tried like hell to forget about my conversation with Kylan. Blowing out a deep breath, I shook my head to clear my thoughts. "How's it looking?" Mike asked. He was the contractor handling the building. He was also a friend of mine since high school. With a smile, I replied, "It looks great. What's left to do?"
"If you're happy with everything, we're done. We had a few paint touch-ups to do that the guys took care of earlier this morning. The inspector came in and all is looking good. You, my friend, have your cabin in the woods." My chest tightened. Savannah and I talked about building a place in the mountains. She would have never gone for how simple this cabin was, though. She grew up in a very wealthy family. A 3-bedroom cabin would never have made her happy. But being up here would have. She should be here.
"Hey, you okay, Thano? You look pale."
Clearing my throat, I nodded and hit him on the side of the arm.
"Yeah,
I'm great. It all looks great, Mike.
Did you ever tell your parents?"
With a half-hearted chuckle, I looked around again. Hell no. My mother would have been all over you, picking paint colors and adding this or that. In a way, I did it for you, Mike. He narrowed his eyes and stared at me with a disbelieving look.
For me? How's that?
If she had known I was building this place, she would have been calling you on the phone every day. You and I both know it. My mother gives new meaning to the word control freak. He nodded.
That's true. She would have been. But I also bet I'd have gained 40 pounds with her cooking.
See? Me not telling them was a good thing.
Uh-huh. You keep telling yourself that, Thano.
The moment I opened the door to my parents' house, my mother called out my name.
Athanasios, it's about time.
With a slight smile, I made my way through the house and into the kitchen. My mother was jabbering away in Greek as she moved about. Her black hair was pulled up into a bun, and she wore just a touch of makeup. My mother was beautiful, beyond beautiful. She was only 55 years old and didn't look a day over 30. Smells good, Mama.
Of course it does. No one cooks moussaka like I do.
With a chuckle, I agreed. No one does, Mama. The smell of the ground lamb and garlic cooking made my mouth water. Damn, I loved my mother's cooking.
How has your week been?
She asked as she laid the eggplant in the baking dish. It was a very rare occasion for her to be alone in the kitchen. With a shrug, I replied, It's been uneventful. She turned to look at me and raised her eyebrow.
Is that so?
I knew that look. It was the look that told me I better rethink my answer. Yep. Why do you ask? She turned back to what she was doing and pursed her lips.
Rosemary, Aunt Marie's friend, saw you talking to a girl on the street near your apartment.
Rosemary? Why was she in Manitou Springs?
Huh? So, you do not deny you were with a girl?
I popped an olive into my mouth and sat at the island while I watched her. I wasn't with any girl, Mama. I was talking to a girl. She huffed.
What's the difference?
There's a huge difference.
Is she a friend?
I thought for a moment. Was Kylan a friend? We hadn't exchanged phone numbers, and I just found out what her last name was. No. Gus and I met her at a cooking class, and she, taking a step back, my mother clutched her chest.
A cooking class? What is this? You take a cooking class from this girl? What can this girl cook better than your Mitera?
Oh, hell. No, Mama. I don't know how she cooks, to be honest with you. Her eyes widened in shock.
You date a girl and you don't know how she cooks? Does she cook a good pastizio? What about a spanakopita or baklava?
I closed my eyes and prayed I'd get through this meal. Mama, I'm not dating anyone, and I highly doubt Kylan knows how to cook any of that. Her face turned white, and right on cue, my father and Thaddeus walked in.
Katerina, are you okay?
My father asked my mother, rushing to her side. She held up her hand and gave me a look that should have turned me into dust.
And why can she not cook those meals, Athanasios?
Thaddeus tossed an olive up and caught it in his mouth as he leaned back and looked at me. Gus had already filled him and Nicholas in on the hot girl in cooking class I met at the bar the night before.
Yeah, Thano. Why?
I shot him a dirty look before turning back to my mother. She's Irish, Mama. I seriously doubt she knows how to make a baklava. Stepping back, my mother cursed in Greek while my father shook his head.
Not again, he mumbled. Katerina, the world is not filled with Greek women.
Closing her eyes, my mother cried out.
Why do you try to break my heart, Athanasios?
I stood and rolled my eyes. I'm not breaking your heart, Mama, because I'm not dating Kylan. I barely know her. What Rosemary saw was me out running, and I happened to see Kylan running. I was being polite and saying hi. She helped Gus and me out in class. She let out the breath she had been holding in.
This does not explain your betrayal of going to a cooking class.
Thaddeus busted out laughing, but quickly stopped when my father gave him a look.
Katerina, let the boy explain before you go off jumping to conclusions.
Thank you, Dad. Turning back to my mother, I said, We were about to market pots and pans. We were doing research, seeing what women like to use when they are in the kitchen. Anger moved across my mother's face, and I involuntarily took a step back, as did Thaddeus, hoping to escape the wrath of our Greek mother. Because when she got pissed, she got pissed.
Am I not a woman?
Spinning around to look at my father, she shrugged.
Dimitris, did you not marry a woman who knows pots and pans?
I could tell my father was holding back a smile.
I did. I'm sure Thano is going to seek out your knowledge soon, my love.
He walked up and wrapped his arms around her waist and pulled her to him. Placing his lips on hers, he kissed her passionately. I'd long ago gotten used to my parents' displays of affection. My father never could seem to keep his hands off of my mother. He'd give her the world if he thought he could. But he tried hard to make everyone believe he wore the pants in the family, which was not the case. He was true to his Greek roots, but our mother, she was hardcore old Greek. Breaking their kiss, he winked and said,
No, leave the boy be, and let him do his job the way he wants.
I swear my mother melted when in my father's arms. He knew it too, and worked it well.
Fine, I'll let it go.
Turning and pointing to me, she continued,
This time.
Dinner proved to be like every other time I came home to eat. My brothers argued like cats and dogs. My mother informed me of the perfect girl for me, one of her Greek friend's daughters. My father talked about going camping, even though we all knew he'd never take the time off from his practice to actually go camping. Aunt Maria, Uncle Nick, and my two cousins also showed up for dinner. Getting up, I walked out onto the deck and stared out to the mountains. Closing my eyes, Kylan popped in my head. I quickly opened them and ran my hand across the back of my neck. What was happening to me? Why couldn't I get her out of my head? I was torn between wanting to find out more about her and not wanting to forget Savannah. Glancing over my shoulder, I watched my father take a seat. My father was a handsome man. For as long as I could remember, women would flirt with him endlessly. He never paid them any attention, though. He only saw my mother, and that was something I truly admired about him. He looked straight ahead and nodded, as if saying something to himself.
I believe you are struggling with something, Athanasios.
I never knew how he did it, but my father always knew when something was bothering one of his sons. He saw it in me after Savannah died, and when he told me to find myself again, he didn't mean run off to Texas. I knew he was upset I left my job and went to work on the oil rig, but he never told me so. I saw it in his eyes, though.
Nah, I'm just tired.
Work's been busy. He slowly nodded.
You feel as if you are betraying her. Is that it?
Pinching my eyebrows together, I asked, Who? His eyes flicked up to meet mine.
You know who. Don't skirt around it. You're interested in this girl. Maybe this is the first girl who has sparked something inside you, huh? That makes you feel guilty.
I let out a laugh. Kylan? Dad, please. I don't even know the girl, and just because Mama's friend saw me talking to her means nothing. I ran into her and said hello.
Have you been with a woman since Savannah?
Sexually? My mouth fell open. My father was not asking me this. Squeezing my eyes shut, I cleared my throat and looked away. I knew if I avoided his question or tried to change the subject, he was not going to give up. Yes. I have been with other women since Savannah. None of them meant anything. None of them ever will. I loved Savannah, and no one will ever make me feel the way she did. He gave me a regarded look and stood up as he looked out over the mountains.
Then ask yourself something, son. Why do you stand out here with such a conflicted look on your face if your heart is not arguing with your mind?
Opening my mouth to say something, I snapped it shut.
Life moves on, Athanasios. I wish it could for me.
With a sad look on his face, he looked into my eyes.
It could, if you let her go.
My eyes stung with the threat of tears. I can't. I want one more day to tell her I love her, to show her no one could ever love me like she could. My voice cracked and I sucked in a breath. I want to hold her in my arms one more time.
5. Kylan. You saw him again and you're telling me that's not a sign? Claire asked as she followed me into the elevators. Sighing, I closed my eyes. I'm not interested, Claire. Grabbing my arm, she turned me to face her. Her eyes looked so sad, and I knew what was about to come. Kylan, when are you going to let go of the past and move on? My lip trembled as the memories rushed through my mind. Pushing them out, I stood taller. I've moved on, Claire. Just because I don't like to talk about it doesn't mean I haven't moved on. She shook her head. Then why won't you open your heart? Why? With a forced smile, I said, I have a black heart. My phone buzzed, saving me from any more of Claire's questions. Reaching into my purse and pulling out my phone, I smiled when I saw his name. Cody, I said as I lifted my eyebrow. Claire made a gagging sound and looked away. Cody had been the only constant in my world. Or, as Claire would say, he was my fuck buddy. Hey, sweet thing. You down for some dancing? Dancing? Tonight? Hell yes. You in? With a smirk, I replied, count me in. How about I meet you there? Smartest thing you've said all day, Claire mumbled. I reached over and hit her on the shoulder. Sounds good. And Kylan, don't wear panties. My smile grew bigger. This was what I needed. I was sure of it. Oh, I'm sure I can arrange that. See you tonight. Hitting end, I dropped my phone back into my overly expensive periwinkle Dooney and Burke purse. The only reason I bought it was because I loved the color. Please tell me you're not going to have sex with him. The doors to the elevator finally opened on the 21st floor. Glancing over my shoulder at Claire, I winked and said, that's exactly what I intend on doing. Oh, God, what do you see in him? Nothing. That's what makes it work, Claire. He wants nothing from me but a fun night out. Same goes for me. Walking up to the receptionist's desk, I flashed a bright smile and said, Kylan O'Kelly and Claire Page here for our 1 o'clock appointment. The young blonde nodded and replied, I'll let Mr. Connor know you're here. Thank you. I knew I was being a tad over the top, but for some reason, knowing I was going to relieve this insane need for an orgasm tonight had me flying high. As the girl walked away, Claire leaned over and whispered, are you that excited to see Cody? Not bothering to look at her, I stared straight ahead at Mr. Connor walking toward us. No, I'm that excited to get laid. Ugh, I just threw up in my mouth, bitch. Extending my hand, I flashed a smile at the head of Connor Law Firm. He was redoing their lodge in Chipeta Park as a surprise for his wife.
Tell me you have something to knock my socks off.
Oh, I think you'll be very pleased, I replied. The second we got into my car, Claire let out a squeal of excitement. We got the job! I can't believe we got the job! With a smile on my face, I pulled out and headed back to the office. This is huge for us. If we can move more into home interior, we can actually take on additional jobs. I feel like celebrating, Claire giggled. Why don't you and Blake come out with me and Cody tonight? Claire moaned. Ugh, Cody. Shaking my head, I replied, why do you hate him so much? I could feel her eyes on me. Seriously? You don't know why? With a shrug, I quickly glanced at her. Nope, no clue. Kylan, he uses you for sex. Letting out a roar of laughter, I tried to ignore the tightness in my chest. And you don't think I do the same? Claire, that's what I like about Cody. He's upfront and honest, and he's not bad in bed. So, you'll have meaningless sex with him. Coming to a stop at a light, I turned to her. My smile was gone and the feeling in my chest was heavier. I've had sex with 2 guys in my 28 years, Claire. 2. And one of those... one was... My voice cracked and I turned away and forced myself to talk. I'm not a slut, Claire. I just want to have fun. Claire took my hand in hers. I know you're not a slut. I didn't mean anything by it. I only want you to be happy, Kylan. I'm sorry. I reached up and quickly wiped a tear away while trying not to get pissed at Claire. I vowed I would never let Peter make me cry.